Good evening. A great night. Who's had their fill of all the food out there? Who's now and again going, ooh, that smells good? Excellent. Hey, we're in the second week and the final week of our series, Underrated. And I want to kick off tonight by sharing a story of mine several years ago when I was in grade seven. My school gave the student leaders, like those year sevens, a few of us, the opportunity to serve in the canteen. Ooh, risky. It was a great privilege. It was a great privilege. And we were keen to get in there to work alongside the canteen coordinator and some of the other parents. And so, you know, we jumped at the opportunity. You know, there were sausage rolls, pies and pasties, cakes, custard tarts, lollies, ice blocks, flavoured milk, Cokes and Fanta, none of this zero stuff, when they were still in bottles and you had to flick the lid off. It was awesome. Such a range of healthy options. Back then, there was no such thing as allergies. People didn't know about calories or kilojoules, any of that stuff. We just went for it. And the students would line up at recess and lunch, and they'd come into the canteen, and we'd take their order and handle their money. And in theory, this was a great opportunity, as I said, to serve the school and our fellow students. The problem is we were more focused on ourselves than demonstrating honesty and integrity. We were in it for ourselves rather than being a good example to others. You see, we had a canteen racket going. Ooh, I can hear that. Now, some of our mates would come in and order perhaps a Coke and a pie. And back then, they might be, for the two of them, $2 or something, even, you know, around $2. You know, bargain, when you consider it today. But they would come in with maybe 50 cents. And they discreetly, like secretly, just, you know, there might be some, a whole lot of loose change, so make it sound like a lot more, but often, you know, they'd underpay what it actually was. And sometimes those of us in our little crime syndicate would come in with even less and end up with more food and more money than what we came in with. I know this is sad. You're probably sitting there going, Pete, what are you telling us? This is terrible. Well, for some crazy reason, I thought that this was something we could get away with. And the problem was I knew exactly what was going on, and I knew exactly that what I was doing was wrong, because I grew up in a Christian home, and so I knew right from wrong. And at school, my mates knew that I was a Christian, that I went to church, and I was supposed to be following Jesus and his way of living, making the right sort of choices. But here I was compromising my faith right in front of my mates. And I don't remember getting caught or getting in trouble, thankfully. But I do remember that within the week, somehow and for some reason, the students weren't allowed to serve in the canteen anymore. I'm not sure, maybe the teachers had clued the fact that by the end of the day, there was no cash in the register, and yet they'd sold all this food. Pretty cluey. I carried the guilt of my actions, even as I was doing that at the canteen. And I was battling with the choice of doing what was right, but I gave in to the desire of selfish gain. And to fit in with others who were setting a bad example, I conformed and became a part of that behaviour too. Instead of standing up and setting a good example, I gave in and went along with the poor one. I need to say I'm not proud of my actions back then, as you can imagine. Now, I could have got into serious trouble, and it could have set me actually on a bad path if I chose to keep on making those sort of decisions. But I'm thankful that God stirred in my spirit and convicted me so that I wouldn't make those sort of choices again. Now, in saying that, I've done some dumb things over my life, and I've made some poor choices, and there have been actions which have had consequences, and I've had to own up to them and face my parents at times. I'm trying to deal with that. And it hasn't been anything that's endangered life or got me into trouble with police. Although there have been a couple of unintentional traffic infringements, let me just say that. But my point is, there have been some actions and behaviours which really haven't been God-honouring. And before you start thinking, oh, I wonder what he's done, I want you to think about your own life. Because what I'm sharing about tonight is owning your own actions. Owning your own actions. It's not about comparing or scaling it in comparison to what someone else is doing alongside you. Are there things that you've done or been a part of or been tempted to engage in which deep down you really know it isn't something which is going to honour God or demonstrate your faith and trust in Jesus in front of others? Now, last week we met this young guy, Timothy. You may have had the opportunity to read the two books which bear his name in the Bible. And if not, it's still okay. You can still do that. But Timothy, a young follower of Jesus, came in contact with the Apostle Paul, one of these guys that God used to get the message of Jesus out throughout the Roman world into the whole world. And Paul came in contact with Timothy when he was just a teenager. Same sort of age as you guys. I mentioned last week that on several occasions, Paul gave Timothy, even at his age, the responsibility of starting a church in a local city and then staying there quite often to help strengthen and build it up. Then at different times, Paul wrote to Timothy about staying true to the message of Jesus, about not getting distracted by some of the lies and the false teachings which had arisen about the Christian faith. And Paul encourages Timothy to keep fighting for the message of Jesus, even against all the opposition, the cultural and social pressures. Keep fighting for it. And not to be intimidated by those who would try and destroy his faith or make him feel overwhelmed or unappreciated or underrated. He writes, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, "Timothy, my son, I am giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well, holding on to the faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith." Last week, for those who weren't here, and just to remind us all, I shared two key things. Take your faith seriously. Take your faith seriously. Own it for yourself. Don't live in the shadow of someone else's faith. Sure, someone else's faith can encourage you and strengthen you, but take your faith seriously. And then hold your faith securely. Hold your faith securely. Paul wrote to Timothy, reminding him that sometimes it doesn't take much to distract us and knock us over as we race through life. Each day, we are faced with choices. It's choices which can strengthen our faith or choices which can undermine and demoralize our faith. Fight the battle well, Paul says to Timothy. There was a movie that was released a few years ago called Hacksaw Ridge. The film told the story of Desmond Doss, an American soldier who served as a combat medic in World War II. And Doss had a strong faith in God, and he believed it wrong to take another person's life, even in war. And because of this, he refused to pick up a rifle. And the authorities tried to have him kicked out of the army. They even threatened to put him in prison. He was a target for abuse from his own division. He was called a coward. But Doss was determined to take his faith in God seriously. He was determined to hold his faith securely, and he was determined to fight in a way which both honored God and others. From home to the training camp, and then all the way into the heat of battle, he gave his faith opportunity to be lived out before others. Let's watch the trailer. Who did this? The perception was Doss the coward. Something different was going on for him. Des Doss faced a military battle, but it was the spiritual battle within which he needed to combat first. Each day we face battles. We face choices and decisions. And although it seems like the battles we may face are visible and physical, in actual fact, there's a spiritual battle that takes place within us and around us. But the good news is that Jesus has already won the war. Amen. And that he conquered the enemy when he rose to life. And when we take our faiths in him seriously, receiving the forgiveness he offers and following his ways as genuinely and as honestly as we can, we experience the victory in the battles we face also. We can have victory in each battle we face. We can choose goodness over evil. When we step into something, we can choose love over hatred. We can choose purity over impurity. And the only reason we can have that victory is because of Jesus' victory first. And we can claim that. So no matter what you have felt or carried in the past, or even if there is a guilt and a shame maybe you hold right now, Jesus calls you to come to him to find forgiveness, comfort, strength, and courage, even in the heat of the battle. So that when you face things which attempt to overwhelm you, undermine you, build anxiety within you, you can be assured that God is for you, he's beside you, and at work within you by the power of his Spirit. 1 Timothy 4, Paul says again to Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Let me say something about this verse. Paul knew that Timothy was young. And as relevant as that was for Timothy at that stage of his life, and for us as well of a similar age, I don't think that was actually really the focus of what Paul was trying to communicate to Timothy in those verses. What was really at stake was that Paul wanted to encourage Timothy to be an example to others in the midst of opposition, challenge, and the battles he faced. To take his faith seriously, to hold it securely. And the one further point I'm sharing tonight is to give his faith opportunity. To give his faith opportunity. Opportunity to grow. Opportunity to mature. It wasn't about his age. I don't think it was about his appearance. I think it was more about his attitude and his attributes. It was about his attitude towards his faith in Jesus. And it was about his attributes which demonstrated his faith in Jesus. Paul says, in speech, Timothy, in the words you use, I wonder what his conversations were like. Were they wholesome and truthful? In conduct, in his actions. How did he act in front of others as well as when no one was looking? In love, in his motives. Did he do things for his own selfish gain, or was he more intent on meeting the needs of those around him? And in purity, in his thoughts. What was going on in his own mind? Was his mind being renewed by the wisdom and the truth of God? What about us? What about our words? Our actions? What about our motives? What about those thoughts we have? Give your faith opportunity to grow and mature. As I said last week, God isn't looking for just the beginning of our faith. He desires the growth and maturing of our faith through the different spiritual disciplines, we often call them, reading God's word, applying it, living it out, prayer, worship, serving, giving. Also, give your faith opportunity to be tested. Give your faith opportunity to be tested. In the heat of the battle, when you are in a situation when you need to make a choice, what will you choose? Don't be like me in the canteen and sell out on something without honoring its value. I had an opportunity, but I forfeited what I knew to be the right thing to do. Our faith is worth so much more than a Coke and a meat pie. Our life is of far more value than a cheap moment of pleasure, which will always leave us feeling empty, unfulfilled, and with a knot in our stomach. Give your faith opportunity to be tested. And right then and there, claim the victory you have because of Jesus Christ. Every situation, if you know that you follow, you love Jesus, you trust in him, claim that victory in that moment. It's easy to step back and say, oh, I can't do this. No, you can't, but with God's help, through the power of the Spirit, you can. You can overcome. And through it all, give your faith opportunity to be a testimony. To be a testimony, to be a story which is lived before others, and a story which encourages others. 1 Timothy 6, but you, man of God, child of God, flee from all this, from all the stuff that can easily entangle us. He's talking about the things, the lies, and the different oppositions and challenges that Timothy faced. Flee from it. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your confession in the presence of many witnesses. As Emily and Chloe mentioned in our notices, we've got baptisms coming up. And there's a couple of info nights coming up in the next 2 weeks. We're going to celebrate with those who are giving their faith opportunity to be a testimony, who have chosen and said yes to Jesus and want to let other people know about that. And if you follow and trust in Jesus but haven't been baptized yet, or if you're just wanting to explore it again, I encourage you, come along to those info sessions. Find out what it's all about. We would love to celebrate with you. We would love to have an evening where family, friends, excess community goes out into the hall, because we just can't all fit in here because of the number of baptisms we're having. Give your faith opportunity to be a testimony. Just wrapping up the story, going back to the story of Des Doss and his wife, Dorothy. Their marriage, their lives were anchored in faith. What the film didn't portray was that Des returned from the war, and he spent nearly 6 years in hospital suffering from tuberculosis. The disease left him disabled. It claimed one of his lungs, 5 of his ribs, and then with all the medication he was having later in life, he lost his hearing. 49 years, Des and Dorothy were married, and Dorothy was standing alongside, serving him, helping him, raising their son, Tommy, on her own, basically, financially supporting him. And she faced her own challenges, her own physical challenges, going through treatment for breast cancer. She faced all this as well. And her son, Tommy, I came across this article recently reflecting on their lives and probably coming out of the movie being released. And Tommy said this of his mum. She was the most underrated person in this whole thing. So much of what has happened to my dad would not have happened had it not been for her. Sometimes in life, we don't get all the attention, we don't get all the applause, we don't get all the accolades. But when we trust and follow Jesus, we get the assurance that He's with us. He has good things in store for us because the best is yet to come. 2 Timothy 4, let me finish with this. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. Fight the good fight of faith. We don't know how long we have. What will you do with the time you've been given? Will you waste it? Or will you run the race and truly live as God wants you to live? Will the choices you make each day just be for the moment? Or will you lift your sights to make choices which will have significance beyond our passing moments here on earth? My prayer for you guys, you'll take your faith seriously, you'll hold it securely, give your faith opportunity. You stand with me, I'm going to lead us in prayer. Jesus, we thank You that You have made a way to be close to You, to God the Father, through what You sacrificed for each of us. And the things that we may be challenged with and struggle with each day, we can claim victory because of what You have done on the cross. So tonight, we bring ourselves before You again and humbly acknowledge You, Your goodness, Your faithfulness, Your glory. Forgive us for those times when we've tried to go into a battle on our own. Remind us that we can stand tall, stand firm, and fight the good fight of faith because You are with us. We rejoice in that, Jesus. Amen. I invite you guys to come forward as we sing our last couple of songs tonight.